The Afterburn Podcast is a proud supporter of Guns, Gear, and Memorial Foundation, helping our veterans and their families when they need it most. To learn more, visit gunsgarin.com/rain.
Good news, bad news. All those spam and text calls you've been getting lately? Well, that's a result of your information having been sold by third-party data brokerages, or it's been stolen and sold to nefarious people. Ticketmaster recently had a data breach where 560 million users' information was stolen and sold on the dark web. This included their names, physical addresses, email addresses, credit card information, and much more. Best case scenario, this just ends with more annoying phone calls and text messages. Worst case, it's going to end in fraud and you're really going to be in the hurt locker. That's why I've been using a service called Aurora for over a year now. I've talked about it on the podcast before, but not only do they monitor the dark web and the internet for my information in case it is involved in a breach, they go right to work removing your information from these data brokerages. When I signed up, they identified over 60 that had my information and went right to work removing me from these data brokerages. Now, yep, you could do this yourself, but each one of these data brokerages has its own policies and procedures, and I have no idea how you would even start trying to remove yourself from these services, let alone how much time that would take. But Aurora does that, as well as they offer a whole suite of tools to keep you safe, including a VPN, antivirus, password management, parental controls, and identity theft insurance. You get this all in one app, one place, so it's super simple. And you can do this with a 14-day risk-free trial. Super simple. And if you don't like it, you just cancel anytime. It's not complicated. At a minimum, you can take a look and see what information of yours is out there lurking on the web right now. Use the link down below in the description or go to aurora.com/afterburn and you get 14 days risk-free, cancel anytime, super easy, and take the first step in protecting yourself out there on the interwebs. That's the good news, by the way.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us, for open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Want to make a podcast? Let me tell you about Spotify's program for podcasters, and it's called Spotify for Podcasters. I've been using it for over a year now. Couldn't be happier from the switch. You can record wherever you create podcasts, whether it be your phone, computer, and it's easy to upload it and distribute it to everywhere podcasts are heard. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. Best of all, Spotify for Podcasters is completely free. So launch your podcast today. Get started with Spotify for Podcasters. Go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started.
I always expect you guys to edit them out, and then I listen to the podcast and you just left it in.
Yeah,
that's accurate.
And this is part of the intro right now that you're doing. So there we go.
It's all this dead time. Welcome, everybody. We're back.
Welcome to the Bro Chat, where the Afterburn Podcast and the Kodiak Shack Podcast merge, bringing you all the answers you didn't ask for, where fighter pilots solve all the world's problems and forget to write the answers. Join your hosts, Jeff Vader Brandon and Jeff Bender Page of the Kodiak Shack Podcast and John Rain Waters of the Afterburn Podcast as they dive into all the solutions you didn't know you needed.
We're back.
Who's got this one?
Finally. Nobody has this one. It's been too long.
No idea.
The Wild West.
Remember the last time we recorded this, like 2 years ago? That's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I was still wet behind the ears, Eagle driver.
Yeah, look at you now.
Just a terrible Eagle driver.
Gray beard.
Seasoned.
That's right.
Seasoned. I think Bender should do an intro here.
Yeah. His are the best.
Yeah, they are.
Mine are the worst. Like, clearly the worst. They're terrible.
That's why I the best.
I always expect you guys to edit them out, and then I listen to the podcast, and you just left it in there.
Yeah.
No, that's accurate.
And this is part of the intro right now that you're doing, so there we go.
Just all this dead time. Welcome, everybody. We're back. Been, I don't know, a long time since February, which was that's deep in the winter where I come from. But now it's sunny out here in Utah. There's still snow in the mountains, but not in my yard, which is nice. Anyway, welcome, Vader there and Rain. Just always exciting. We didn't get a fourth guest today because we thought we'd go back to the core bros for just one episode. Then we'll hopefully get together again in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So what's been happening, fellas?
Man, a lot's been happening. We're finally hitting summer. Thankfully, we went from 55 degrees to right around 90. So that's good. So
I love skipping spring straight to summer.
Yeah. Nobody wants spring. That's just where like flowers and nice days outside. Not for me, you know. that's what we got going on here.
Well,
just shirking my responsibility.
Yeah, well, you've completed your transition, and going to the Eagle, we probably can more ways than one. But how's that been?
Yeah, it's good. MQT complete took a little longer because the Jets, you know, they got to say. Finally, they threw down, which I don't believe it until the Jets are on the ramp. But F-15EX, that's in my future. So that'll be neat, apparently. I've got to see some cool stuff flying around in the C model. I've been gunned a couple times, which is not my favorite. But saw the 35 roll up some Eagles in air to air as red air. So it's been a lot of fun.
I got my good buddy Dave. He should be listening to this. He's a flight doc. He was really bummed when the announcements came out because he's at Barnes. And Barnes is getting the F-35. Yeah. Like, he just wants to get in the backseat of a Viper. It's probably any fighter, but I'm saying a Viper. Best fighter out there. So, I mean, it sounds like that's going to be kind of tough to do at Barnes because they're getting the 35, right? And then you guys are getting the EX. Then they announced someone else was getting the EX or 35. I can't remember. They made several announcements. Again, it's been like...
NOLA. Yeah, they're getting the EX as well.
Ah, interesting.
Oh, nice.
So,
this is the
is it two guard units in that are going to get it? You guys and then New Orleans?
And Portland. So Portland was already thrown down. So Kadena, Portland, Fresno, and NOLA are going to be EX someday.
Kadena.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, really? That's like active duty? So that's what was supposed to – that's why they were getting rid of all the C models was because they were like, the EX is on its way. Check's in the mail.
Yeah, definitely count on that. Because it wasn't it supposed to be like 120-ish jets? But that's be weird. That's a weird balance of like, hey, you get one active duty squadron, three guard units. I can definitely see this coming to fruition. No issues.
Yeah. Well, so there have been, I'm pretty sure there have already been three environmental impact surveys done for Fresno to transition to possibly the 35 or the EX, which the EX should be, if nothing, easier because it's not a Pratt 220 that just pisses fuel on the ground every time you shut down. So the environment will probably appreciate the GE-129s. But they've already done three, and it said this is the press release said this is all pending an environmental impact study. And it's like, I feel like that is the, like, get-out-of-jail-free card where they're going to say, like, well, you know, the environmental impact survey didn't work out, and then the whole plan's going to change. But
100%.
Either way, they've at least thrown down.
The fact that Vermont and Madison got the 35, because, again, environmental impact study in the Grand Rapids, I talk about fuel being dumped on the ground, but just the noise pollution that those two places let that happen is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if it was on accident or on purpose, but it seems like West Coast is kind of EX, like West Coast PACAF, and then East Coast is kind of 35 heavy. So I don't know if there was a reason for that or if that was on accident.
That way you guys can be the leading
edge.
Yeah, that's right.
We need you to be the leading edge. You got to have that big old hunk of metal out there. Yeah. So that we cannot be seen. That's the key to fifth gen. Really fourth gen out there.
Can I not be the leading edge, though? Can I just be in trail of said leading edge?
No, that's not good for us that way.
Doesn't work. I was talking to somebody, and they were saying that they had 35s were running cold. This is a long time ago. This was a few years ago. It might have been Jicto. And 35s were running cold. And Vipers were bonsai. And they're like in the debrief. And they're like, why aren't you guys bonsai here? And they're like, it's way more survivable if we do not trespass Mar. And it's like, yeah.
Valid.
I agree. Yeah. Like, so good.
It is. We did. You guys remember Red Russell? Did you ever meet? You know Red Russell, right?
I met Red.
And he just had his finny flight last week. And so we did. It was awesome. We did a 4-8 ship DCA. So cat swap out against 12. I think we had 12 Red Air, F-35 Red Air. Anyway, it was a rager. It was awesome. But I had learned the week prior that, I was getting nervous having these conversations. It's being recorded. Anyway, I've been complaining this entire time, like fourth gen tactics, like they're money. And then with, okay, you know what? I'm not going to go where I'm going with this until we're offline. But it's pretty interesting. Bottom line, it was awesome. And you can't do the things that you used to do, fourth gen, because people, like the stern wes of these things is insane. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, hey, we're just going to like think real small, go as far into their territory as you can, basically, trying to shot. Anyway, it was awesome. Bottom line, good times. Also edit this part out, if you guys don't mind.
I marked the clip.
Marked it.
Marked the tape.
I just need to remember to do that.
I'm all nervous. We just had our security briefings about the Massachusetts Guardsmen or whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm not going to even tell anybody I even fly the F-35 because you know they're just looking for the first person to string up.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
Well, we had that same meeting.
Yeah, I was like, I'm surprised there hasn't been a mandatory like CBT that's been accomplished yet, but I guess you guys are doing briefings. So.
Oh, there. Yeah. We did a mandatory stand down. Yeah.
Yeah, Intel had like a whole brief, and it was effectively telling you everything that you've already agreed to with your NDAs and everything else. It's like, I won't be a complete fool.
I will not go into Discord and have arguments and take documents from a secure network and then use that
to prove it.
Yeah,
it's like exactly. Oh, man. The slides did end with all the people they've thrown in jail. You know, over the past however long for security breaches. I noticed that there's no vice presidents or secretaries of state that were thrown in jail for any of these kind of things.
So. Do you ever
weird
one of the I think it was Blitz. He was talking about when he was working on the Hill, just the things that staffers would say openly, you know, because they're not, while they're read into all these different things, I don't know if they fully understand that, like, oh no, you can only say this behind this, you know, 6-inch steel door. They're like, no, just running around.
They definitely don't know.
Yeah, texting about it and stuff. Like, that was anyone in the military, they'd be in jail.
Yeah. Well, and this isn't a spear to security people, because I work with a lot of security people, but a lot of them don't really even understand or know, like, the secrets that they know. Like, they're obviously briefed to secrets, and they don't. They just don't, they like ignore it and they keep living their life. So I can only imagine a staffer getting a 2-hour brief of all this information of varying classifications. And then they're like, yeah, I know exactly where that falls. I mean, I didn't know most of the stuff for like almost a decade of my career to like truly feel confident about like talking about things and not talking about things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Oh, not to, not to shift gears, but I got to apologize to all the Kodiak Shack listeners. I said it at the beginning of the podcast, and I'll say it again. I'm terrible at my job. Rain and Bender know this. But, Rain, you'll get a kick out of this. So I got feedback that the commercials that are, like, embedded into the show were, like, high. And then I was like, gosh, okay, if the commercials are louder than the audio – I got to pump that audio up. We got to bring that audio higher.
Pump it. Give it some more boost.
So I was creating a bigger delta between the commercial, and so people would run, like, they'd be running it, like, lower, and then the commercial would come in, like, way over the top. And so finally, John, apparently you know him as well, Rain, and he reached out, and he was like, hey, you're screwing the pooch on this one. And I didn't know, I apologize, everyone, I didn't know there's like a master decibel levels that you're running. And I was above the commercial. So what it was doing was creating, the commercials were like way higher than they should have been. So then I finally set my master audio to the same decibel levels as the commercials. Yeah. Now I think we're good. But yeah. I haven't heard
these are bad all feedback. The things that you're like, I don't know. There's things I know now that one, I never thought I would know about nor care about. But yeah, you're like, oh, minus 17 lufs. I just don't know what that means, but that's what I set everything to.
There you go.
I think it works.
Yeah.
So yeah, people probably ears are bleeding and they just haven't said anything, but
yeah. Oh, I don't know, a year into it, Vader. So you learned one thing over a year. Like, that's a pretty good pace of
that is know, that's better than curve. Most things.
Yeah, there is a slope to it, so that's good.
One thing.
One thing.
Did you guys see that Viper crash at, was it Osan last week?
I just saw the video from like a closed caption TV video.
Yeah.
Was it a ROCAF one, right? Or was it a US?
No, it was US. Well, oh, that's at US. Least what a press release I saw.
Oh.
Did you see the parachute? Yeah. It was like a late ejection. Like maybe like 300 feet, something like that, 400 feet.
That looks not good.
Yeah.
Not where it would be. It's something. Better than being in the fireball, but.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely, he was well clear of the jet and everything. But yeah, it was, the parachute was relatively low, like in the video. It looked like terrible weather. Not surprising. Rain, you know, low clouds. So
yeah,
I wonder if it was some sort of spatial D or something.
Man, we break a lot of jets in Korea. I'm not sure it's worth the squeeze, honestly. All those young, inexperienced people, and they just like fly in terrible conditions. Crash jets every 8 months, it seems like.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because you don't hear about the class whatever B's and C's that happen like constantly.
Going off the end of the runway, things. And actually, I saw Paco had just posted the picture of the Raptor from 5 years ago that had the gear up early retraction. Like, it just flew for the first time this week. That's the point, too. It's like, while not all of these things end in fireballs, like, they might be all bent up and get put back together again, but it might take 3-4 years to do that. It's not like we have a whole lot of Vipers, I don't think, but I don't know. What do I know?
I mean, they're building new ones, you know. Can we just get a replacement one every time we crash?
Yeah, you should, right?
Block 70s would be sweet, wouldn't they?
God, so awesome.
Is there insurance on these? Is it like your car? Like, oh, okay, we'll pay you 84% of the value of your F-16.
Tax dollars.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just tax dollars.
Just keep raising the debt ceiling, and then it's good. You can keep buying as many as you want.
That's right. That's a thing right now, right? They're worried about that.
Yeah.
Debt ceiling.
I think it's coming up next. Is that June? They got to raise it again? Imagine there's some like ramifications. Oh, yeah. It's just like, yeah, if we had a budget every year. I didn't do my annual tour until April. I wanted to do it in January, but it's like, we really can't do it in January because usually we don't have a budget by that point. So we wouldn't have funding. You're like, this is like a known thing every single year. Could we just not just figure this out? No. No is the answer. No. We cannot.
Yes.
Yeah. It's brutal. And then, well, for like our wing, whatever, the previous year will have gone, obviously, you know, terribly because they didn't have the money. So they like guessed where they'd get the money or win, and that was all wrong. But like the next year, like, okay, this year we got burned because of XYZ. This year we're going to do this, and it should take care of that. And of course, like this year's problems are completely different than last year's. So last year's is still a fireball, and then now we have a new fireball of the stuff that we don't get paid for this year. So it's just like, what are we doing? But do you use Todd C. Rain?
I'm just going through that process right now, which I was trying to certify.
I'm terrified to come off of my AGR orders because of that.
Well, and that, so for my annual tour, I had to use that right to certify. But then this whole my FSS transition, which, oh, by the way, too, I probably should ask you, I have an OPR that's supposed to close out at the end of the month that I don't even know. Now it's like a narrative form. None of this stuff works. And you go to like the links, like, oh, this website's shut down. It redirects you here. Click on this, and it'll take you to the appropriate thing. And now it takes you to the old website. Like, who does this? Like, they are, like, if you're so bad at their jobs. Like, it's amazing. Like, I know this is not ready. I don't know. This I'm going through the process right now trying to certify my orders, and it has been a nightmare. The point where I just don't care anymore. Like I don't care if this is how bad you are doing.
Yeah, we have like probably hundreds of thousands of dollars of orders that aren't paid out in our wing, and everybody's like, "You can just keep the money. It's not worth me freaking going in and trying to chase it down." But I guess like the fix right now is because if you're supposed to like just sign it and then send it, right? And then it emails your commander to approve it, but it gets lost somewhere. Instead of emailing your commander, it just goes to wherever it goes, but nobody sees it. So now they're like, okay, email it to yourself. And if you don't see it within 10 minutes, like this is our new fix because we've been dealing with this for a year. Like, if you don't see it in 10 minutes, then print it out, handwrite it all, walk it over to finance. They'll handwrite their part or whatever. And then once you get paid, sometime in the next year, you got to scan it back in, email it to Todd, to wherever, Arrows or whatever thing, so that you can get, because you'll get paid, but you won't get credit for the working the day towards your retirement or whatever.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's all. That's honestly all I care about. I just want the credit.
Yeah, exactly. So, make sure you keep all the hard copies, scan them in, email them, and then make sure at some point in the next year that it's added to your days that you work towards your retirement or whatever. I'm like, who's got freaking time for that? Now the joke is you get two what are called RMPs, but they're like office work paydays. Like you can use two office work paydays for every one order that you're trying to get submitted, just because it takes so long just to get the thing approved by the commanders or whatever. It is a disaster.
I'm glad we talked about this because I didn't know that. I was like, again, I only care about the points. I don't even care about getting paid. But then too, it's like I don't have time to spend 8 hours doing something that should take 3 minutes. Just mind numbing. The other piece too is I emailed my orders, which has my social security number on it, and I have a different government address now, which also is different with encryption, which I couldn't encrypt it. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to get locked out because of some, you sent personal identifiable information. It's like, you gave me no choice, or I'll just use Gmail.
And isn't it yours?
Right. That's like, I was forced to forfeit the security piece of it because, but it was my choice.
How was it always this way? You can build, it's like F-35s. It's all of these things that like are amazing technology. And it's like, can't get paid though. Like I can do all the other stuff, but I can't get paid.
Everyone complains about this, right? But again, let's just say my civilian employer, if they want me to work within a matter of minutes, I can go pick up a trip to go fly. And then, oh, by the way, all the pay and everything, it's done automatically. Like it's in the system. Like I don't have to worry about this or that. And I don't know, if I need to log in, I can quickly log in with, an Okta Verify, just like that new FSS has, anywhere in the world. And I can do it in seconds and handle whatever I need to do. And apparently our United States military can't figure that out.
That's too tough. Yeah.
And there's like thousands of finance people in the military getting paid to do this.
Right. It's their job.
Like seven at FedEx, right?
Yeah. If even FedEx that.
Nail it with seven people. If seven. And it's not even ever, it's probably wrong every once in a while, but they fix it. Like you said, within 15 minutes of noticing the error, it's like correct. So the DOD is really good at figuring out when you owe them money. So that somehow happens really fast. So I'm not sure how that goes. We overpaid you $75. We noticed 3 minutes ago you owe us
that.
Like, okay, I'll just pay $75. But like, oh no, you can't. You can't just pay it back. Like, it's going to take 9 months for you to go through the process of paying back $75. Poor Impajinja.
Did I tell you the story of the guy being sent to collections from DPAS?
No. Gosh.
So I can't remember.
No, I don't think so.
He's a fellow pilot. He was transitioning from either the reserves or the guard, AGR to traditional, like one way or the other, right? He's moving units. So he moves units, goes through that whole process. Again, I have talked about that, the fact that you've only paid this one bank account for 15 years. Just keep paying that. You're like, nope, you got to resubmit all your paperwork. And again, it's not easy. So he moves units. And then about a year later, he gets a notice from a collection agency that he owes, it's like $27.33. Like he's been sent to collections. It's DFAS. And for those listening, that's the company that handles, or the entity that handles all the payment processing for at least the Air Force and probably all DOD. So miraculously, he's able to get someone on the phone. I don't know how that happens. It probably cost him 12 hours of his life. And she naturally takes an attitude with him that he didn't pay this. And it's like, well, where'd you mail this? And she reads the address and he goes, can you read that address again? She snidely reads the address again. DFAS was mailing themselves the collection, the overpayment notice to this guy. And so they kept sending it to themselves. They didn't even send it to him and then like sent him to collections. You're like, what? Like, what are you doing? So,
that's fun.
Yeah. So, yeah.
World's most powerful military right there. Boom.
You better shake in your boots.
That's right. Oh man, it's always something. Funny. It's always something. But what can you do?
Yeah, it would be cool because I feel like the Guard and Reserves have the same problem. I think people would stay around a lot longer if they cleaned up the rest of the non, like the mission support group side. Like if it was, you know, like I fell off of orders for one day, so like my family falls out of DEERS, so they don't have health insurance, and all of our like painstaking efforts to get a primary care manager and to be on a specific like care plan all falls out. And then you have to call and you have to talk to people, and maybe you can control it. I don't know to how I could control it personally, but there's I guess there's Meal Connect or whatever, but there's, it's always a nightmare to get these things done again. And then it's like, oh, well, we don't have your orders. And it's like, but they exist. Like they're somewhere where you can access my orders other than me getting them to you. So yeah, if you're listening, NGB, the,
figure it out
with all due respect. Yeah.
My thing is like, I am doing the Guard and Reserve, right? Like you still have a desire to serve and do something for your country. However, in most cases, unless you are full-time in AGR, it's not your primary means of paying for everything and earning a living and taking care of your family. So it's like, all right, if the flag goes up and you need me, yep, all right, I'll be there, right? That's why you're serving. But when it's not really that, and it's more or less just like admin and maintaining readiness, you need to make it easy for people to go out there and serve and not make it an extra burden. Like in order to go onto orders, that's probably going to burn 8 hours of my life, all this different stress and trying to email people, trying to get it done, which point in case, trying to get onto my annual tour, lo and behold, like nothing works. And it's 4 phone calls, multiple emails, just trying to go to work. Like the thing you hired me to do, you want me to come to work? Like, make it easy for me to come to work. Don't make me jump through all these hoops to come to work. Like, otherwise, I'll go to my other job that really pays the bills, and it's super easy to go to work. So, that's my thing. It's just, it's so frustrating.
It's, man. I'm sure it's getting better.
Yeah, definitely. Like, definitely is getting better. Trend.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, good. I still file my leave on a 3-page piece of paper. And so that's how I go on leave. I have 3 pages to fill out.
Is that because
signed by my,
you're new to the unit, or is that like just hasn't caught up?
So if you're not AGR, like an actual active guard reserve person, I think that's what the acronym is. Your leave is like a 988 form, and you like everything is done effectively manually. Like it's a digital, I mean, it's a PDF. So you like digitally fill it out, you sign it, you email it to your supervisor, which as every fighter pilot knows, it's just a bro in the squadron. It's like, hey, you're logged in. Can you sign my leave? Sure. And then you get your leave signed, you send it to finance. And then when you get back, you have to re-sign it. Your supervisor has to re-sign it and send it back to finance to actually close the loop. And then finance is like, yeah, we lost it. Can you send it again? It's like, it's digital. Like it can't get lost. Like it's somewhere out there. But yeah, it's comical because I like leave web, like my pay, I have some weird like relic my pay of my active duty time. So I'll like look at that. And I'm like, that doesn't look right. And then it's like, oh no, you're not in the reserve side. And it's like, why would I want the old one from over a year ago? But
it's amazing. It's amazing.
Eventually things work out though. Like if I think about DTS, so like our travel voucher. Like when we first got in, that thing was a train wreck.
That's so true.
You know, it took 16 years, but DTS seems to work. It's okay. Just, you know, I mean, it looks like it's made in 1998, but same with like Merc Chat. It's like a chat room from 1991. And that's how all like command and control happens in the Air Force. Still, you're like, holy crap. It's awesome. Why not? It's proven.
No concerns. I have questions. I have none.
No, we're nailing it.
I've noticed your video clips and your video for the podcast has been throttled up. What's going on there? Like, it's, you stepped into the next generation.
Trying to, you know, this, you know, the podcast platforms don't really show your show to that many people. Like, they got to be like legitimately like searching for your podcast, but the video piece between social media and all that stuff, you can reach more people, which I've found success there. However, as I know, you know, editing all this stuff is a pain. I actually really do not enjoy editing any of it. But I was telling you, it's like I found this one program through AI. You know, it's great until it takes over our world, kills us all. But like right now in the short
until
term.
Until then, though, yeah.
It just goes through and chops up this video. Whoever's talking, it shows their face and it makes it a lot easier. But so we probably got a good 3-4 months before that happens. So you'll see more clips coming out until AI takes over and kills us all.
Did you? Nice. I sent you guys that link. It was ChatGPT, and it said, you know, ChatGPT cannot like rewrite its code. It cannot, and it had a few things that ChatGPT cannot do. Like, it can't get angry at people or become, you know, self-aware or whatever. But it said it can go on like Fiverr, and, like Upwork, and pay a human to write that code and to like change it for itself. And it's like, it's going to like through the internet, going to use humans to do what it can't do itself. And I was like, dang it. Like, we are going to be our own demise.
Yeah. It's wild to see some of the stuff that has popped up. Have you seen, I think a police department was sharing screenshots of Snapchat. And so Snapchat apparently has an AI chatbot in there, and the person was asking, hey, what do they say, oh, where am I at right now? And it's like, oh, I don't have access to your location, da 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 da. And then it says like, where's the nearest McDonald's? It's like, boom, the nearest McDonald's is 1.54 miles away, this is the address. It's like, I thought you said you didn't know where my location was. So then this response was, well, no, because you provided me other information, I was able to get your location. Like, it's like, I didn't provide you any information. And then, like, the next screenshot, this person was having this interaction, and the AI is like, you know, my name's Sarah. Like, I have feelings, and I'm sad. You know, it's like, it gets real creepy when it's, like, self-aware. And then it goes out on Fiverr and hires someone to design a robot to put its body in.
Yeah. It's the future. Well, Bender, it was years ago that Jikto sent that article.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah, that thing haunts me to this day. I think about that article. I like try to share it with people, and it's like, Rain, you got to read this thing. So I'm going to try to share it with you, actually.
It's like be haunted for years.
But it's like 40 pages. It's a long, like, he's like, just read this article. But it's not like an article. It's like somebody's, I don't know, PhD thesis or something. But it's pretty long, and it's like, it's really eye-opening. And after you read it, it's like taking the pill. You're like, I see it all now. But if you just like glance at it, you look like a crazy person. So my family thinks I'm insane when I'm like, trust me, it's going to happen. And it's going to be Mother's Day cards that kill us all. They're like, what are you talking about? Trust me, everybody, it will be the Mother's Day cards. Like, that is how AI gets us.
The best is now you're in that weird realm where you haven't explained enough to the audience, but then you've explained enough that net. So you're like,
it's really hard to find the article too. So no one will ever know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's not going to be Mother's Day cards. You probably should do Mother's Day cards this week.
I'll give you the 30-second. So, like, they're not going to be malice, right? AI doesn't have feelings or whatever. But it will try to be the best at what you've, like, given its job to be. So, and it, with self-learning, like machine learning or whatever, it'll just get better and better. So that the guy in, like, one of the examples is, you're like, hey, you create this AI to write holiday cards or whatever. It's like, just do your best. And so it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to write the best holiday card. So it like goes on the internet, like reads all options that there are. And then it like studies people's handwriting. It studies people's, like, the way they interact on text messages or whatever. And then it eventually, like, it just keeps getting smarter and smarter. And then it figures out that humans are like the obstacle in the loop. Like if we can just get rid of the humans, then I can create more of these cards or whatever. Anyway, so it ends up like killing all the humans so that it can create like more Mother's Day cards or whatever for the Earth. Anyway, that's the short version of it, but it's pretty compelling. The article is like, yeah, like all of it is like plausible stuff that could happen. You're like, geez, we are doomed.
And it's not with malice. It's just like, oh, this objectively makes sense, so I'm just going to do that step.
Yeah.
That's the weird part, that you always want to apply like that human, you know, feeling or approach to something, but it's different.
Just black and white?
Is there a... Yeah. Is there any AI, not like it? I mean, there's automation in the plane you're flying now, right, Rain?
Oh yeah.
Like you got some pretty good, like solid automation that's helping you out.
There is the talk, Airbus, the A350 freighter, I think 2026 is supposed to be ready for single pilot operations. Knowing nothing about it, just pure assumptions that if you're going to do something along those lines, you're going to have some kind of AI integration that's monitoring, you know, if it's two pilots on that plane flying 14 hours, but only one has to be on the flight deck so the other one can be sleeping, or, yeah, and that guy dies up on the flight deck, it's smart enough to wake the other one up. And I don't know. I think it's going to keep happening, but there's no AI. It's all your standard autopilot stuff, which is, you know, a 777 weighing 500,000 pounds, if you program it correctly, can fly the plane all the way to landing and stop on the runway. Can't taxi or anything like that, but there's auto brakes. You still have to manually put the switches in the right spot and things like that right now. But, yeah, you don't...
Yeah, I mean, it could taxi itself. Like, that technology obviously exists. Like,
yeah, it's just a matter of...
It's just a matter of when they decide they want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And how much, which I think FedEx has spent a lot of money. I mean, all these plane companies are investing heavily in AI and further automation so you can remove the person.
It would make it cheaper for them.
It would.
Yeah.
More reliable. You're not worried about people calling in sick.
Yeah. But the touchdown for us will be they're going to need, I mean, like my kids aren't going to have jobs, but whatever. I'll have a job. Like I'll be sitting in an office, like monitoring 30, you know, Delta airplanes and like where they're going. Like I'll do that for my house. Like still pay me, you know, $1,000 an hour.
Yeah, there's a transition period. They're gonna need people for a little while longer until holiday cards or something like that, and then they kill us all.
You get a warm fuzzy though as you're getting slayed by the AI machine.
Yeah, no big deal.
That's a pretty nice card. Then you're dead.
Yeah.
How much interaction is there? Like when you're on those like long haul, like night or whatever, like flights, is there a lot of interaction just like keeping each other awake? Like how does that kind of work?
It depends on who you're flying with, right? Which most guys, I think out of all the, so if you're doing a long haul flight, like over 10 hours, you got four people, but you're doing like two and two. So you're going to be sitting up there with your best friend for 3 hours, go back, rest for 3 hours, cycle back and forth. Usually the people you're flying with, there's something new or different that you're talking about or interested that you'll talk for 3 hours. Maybe you spin the heading bug or put something in or do some performance, you know, to kind of get ahead of the jet for what's going to happen the next 10 hours when you go to land. But usually it's just conversation that you're sitting up there to do it. The ones that are really painful, and it's when it's you and your best friend, if it's under 7.5 hours, it's just you two. So the worst, one of the worst like legs in our system is Memphis to Anchorage. It's like 2:30 in the morning and you're just like, just you and whoever sitting there just trying to like put pencils in your eyeballs to like hold them open. Cause you don't get a cycle out of the seat. You're just sitting there the entire time. But if it's over 7.5 or 7:35, then you throw a third person in there and you kind of rotate to really spice it up. But we have no Wi-Fi.
That's the good one.
We're not like Delta. I imagine Delta pilots are just sitting up there on Wi-Fi all day long. Because now, I don't know if you guys have flown recently, like Delta, it's like free Wi-Fi for SkyMiles members, like in most of their planes. And it's like fast. So,
yeah.
A little golf clap.
It's been a while. And I don't remember our Wi-Fi in the cockpit allowing us to do things. But I wasn't there very long. And I didn't try very hard because I didn't want to get fired. Yeah. But now that I'm off probation and protected by the union, I'll explore that space.
That's right. That's what you want to hear. Your pilots are up front working for you, people.
Yeah. But, well, I'll stay in, yeah, you got to stay awake. That's what you want. You gotta.
That's true. Step one, stay awake. Step two, everything else.
When they're also worried about, someone was saying too, that like on the Delta iPads, like the weather is really good for like turbulence to like make sure like it'll 3D picture like, oh yeah, if you descend down to 28,000 feet, you can shoot through this hole. That's like not as bad. Whereas we don't really care about that so much.
We're like, go through that just turbulence.
Superpower coming through and just be shaking the entire time. As long as the wings stay attached. Don't care.
Never mind those fragile boxes in the back. And
you're like, yeah, exactly.
With some
do you ever have loose car? Are they pretty good about?
Yeah, knock on wood, right? Because the one you see, that 7.4, right? That was out of Bagram that the MRAPs came loose on. Most like on the triple, they can palletize some stuff. And the stuff they usually palletize is there's one or two pallets of dangerous goods. Which, if that goes up, like, well, ship sail. But they got someone who, like, is a DG specialist. They spend all their time every day palletizing this stuff. So you're like, ah, that's probably pretty good. It's all the lithium batteries that are back in a container or the dangerous goods that are not declared that someone shipped. That's the stuff you really got to worry about. But if there's, like, a lithium battery fire, like land as soon as you can. But, you know, if you're over the Pacific Ocean, I guess they'll find pieces of the wreckage.
What's your game plan, right?
It's not gonna end
well.
You
can ditch a 777, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean that thing. You got like 35 feet between you and the bottom of the airplane, don't you?
Yeah, it's rather high. You wouldn't want to fall. They had it was a 7.6. There's video out online. They had it was like the left main didn't come down and it landed at LAX. This is probably like 2 years ago. And so as they're troubleshooting, right, all like the plane spotters hear that's going on the radio. So they go set up and guy did a phenomenal landing. I think the FO, so in the 7.6, I don't know if this is all 767s, you don't have, it's probably just us.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
They only have like an escape rope. So they had to go out the window in the escape rope. And I think the FO like shattered his ankle like going down. Like it's a big, I mean, it's like, look at the top of your roof of your house and be like, okay, jump off that. You're like, it's not going well. But we have the slides, the rafts that pop out of the doors, which was an emphasis item when I showed up there because turns out people were inadvertently popping the slides each and every time. Like it was like 11 of them. And they're like a tune of like $1 million a pop. So if you inadvertently pop the slide, it's rather expensive. And supposedly too, it's
because they didn't like.
Well, you know, here's what was going on. The, you know, any of the airlines, I think, Bender, correct me wrong, like the person, the maintenance or the ramp agent on the outside is going to open the door. When the 777 showed up for us, somewhere like, no, we don't want that responsibility. So the pilots would do it. Like, there's no way to physically like pop the slide if you open the door from the outside. So logic would be like, hey, let's just remove that piece of the equation and we'll just have the ramp open the door so it never pops. But no, like someone in that was like, no, we're not taking on that responsibility. And then, you know, like $11 million later.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to have a like a fitness test. There's going to be a rope climb or at least a rope descent to stay fit.
Some of those guys you fly with, you're like, well, maybe the impact would be absorbed by their cushion. But like, there's no way you'd fit through that window. You would die. You would burn alive here if that was the case. Even the 777 has big windows, but I was like, yeah, if someone had to go out that window, there's some guys you fly with, you're like,
you're not going to make it.
I don't think you're going to make it there, buddy. It's not going to happen. So
you got to be like, I'll go first, and then I'll catch you when you
make it through. I got you. Go now and just run away. Oh, man. Well, how's it been going on the Kodiak Shack podcast? Sorry.
Oh, it's been good. We had to slow down a little bit because a lot of irons in the fire right now. But so we've been putting out some sweet stuff. I talked to some people. This episode will be out before this airs. But we talked to some dudes. They're doing IDE, so they're like major level education, and pretty solid deals. They're at one of them's at Rand doing like stuff, and then the other one is at the Gordian Knot Center at Stanford. But it's the chief staff. It was some broader like school program, but they all embed at these like super sweet spots, and they're working like they're effectively using all of these locations to kind of work on like the logistical and like battle management, like the physical, like moving equipment around side of like the A5 side of ACE. So the like the big like question mark on ACE is like, yeah, we can move jets everywhere we want. How are we gonna refuel them?
Right.
You know, load weapons on them, all that kind of stuff. So they're working through that right now. So there's some pretty sweet stuff. I mean, innovation, I mean, obviously it's going all the time, and there's some amazing tech that people are coming out with. So yeah, it's going well.
Well, ACE, Agile Combat Employment. So being able to disperse your unit and go be agile and deploy and operate in different locations. Here's what kills it. DTS, people can't fill out their travel vouchers and get their orders authorized. So
that's right.
Yeah, I can't send the jets. Bummer. Yeah.
You come back, they remove your security clearance. You didn't tell us that you were going to this country 45 days prior. Well, you know, I didn't know I was going there until about an hour prior.
Yeah. It's in the rules. So if it's in the rules, you got to do that. Yeah. I joked. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're going to have to loosen the reins on how we control everything if we're actually going to do ACE, because the whole like only your maintenance works on your airplane and only this and only that. And you're like, that can't happen. Like it has to be
right.
You know,
agile,
one team, one fight. Exactly.
Agile. There's a word for it.
The rule piece. So Oshkosh last year, did a little tour around the F-35 with Bayo. So the jets are parked. So they got A models and C models all parked next to one another. Air Force, security forces. I don't think the Navy had. I think Air Force security forces was doing all the security for the F-35s there. The jets are pointed north, maybe 40 feet, maybe 40 feet in front of the jet is a chain link fence. That's the airport perimeter. We're inside, obviously. We're doing a walk around. We got cameras, and we're talking. So naturally, security forces, like one of the guys gets too close to like one of the cones. He's like, you got to back up. You can't, you know, like lose his mind. Meanwhile, on the other side of the fence, staring directly down the intakes and at that F-35 are four photographers with lenses that are 4 feet long. And
you're how like, many blades are on that thing?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. If you were going to be concerned about someone here, would it be the guy with the telephoto lens on the other side of the fence, or, you know, the guy who we've obviously been talking to Bayo and we're conscious of what we're not going to do? Like, no, sir. Yeah, it's 25 feet. That's what's in the AFI, the reg. So this is what it is. That guy's outside 25 feet, so don't have to worry about that. I'm like, this is the stupidity, you know? And like, just again, it parallels, it goes through everything. Like, well, not my problem.
Yeah.
Agile.
It'll buff out.
It will. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. Chinese have
so one of our episodes was with the Agile, the former commander of the Agile Battle Lab, which is ACC's like little cell of like, how are we going to do this? Which is, it's actually been awesome. So Hill connected with them after we talked to him. be like, what do you guys actually do? Anyway, it's been really cool to see. But one of the things that when they came out to brief, they're like, hey, you know, like writing on the wall, CISA, which I don't, or maybe it's DISA, Defense Information Security, whatever. Whoever runs COM for the DOD, right? They're like, you know, just so you know, like they're not on board with anything that we're going to do in case of war. So they're like, you got to like make your own, you have to like solve your own COM problems, like whatever radios you need, whatever internet access you need, whatever like communication you need. Don't, like none of that will come from anybody higher than your squadron level, basically. like that's ACC's slide is like, hey, the Air Force isn't going to provide any of this for you, even though we have this gigantic organization whose job it is to provide it. Like they're not going to square that corner ever. So like figure it out. I'm like, well, if we're already writing off, you know, like one of the key functions of a joint force, I was like, that's not going to work. Like, yeah, that's not great. So, but there's other stuff. It's not just the comm. It's the same thing with like the logistics, like you guys were saying. They're like, well, you're not going to have, you know, you're going to have to move your bombs and your whatever over to like little places. And they're like, and don't expect any C-17s or C-130s. Like, because they're owned by TACC or whoever owns them. Like, they're not going to dish them out. Like, you're going to have to find your own way to transport them. Like, what do you mean find our own way to transport? Like, there's like 600 miles between where I am and the little tiny island you want me to go to. Like, we can get like a raft. Like, I don't understand. Nope. Think agilely. Like, get it there. Like,
think agilely.
Everyone gets an extra helmet bag of 25 millimeter. You guys have 25 millimeter, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Carry that.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to contract that to the Chinese. That's what we'll do. Like, I'm sure China can solve that problem for us. Like,
I think this is the broader problem with the military, is there's people who are very comfortable with taking measured amounts of risk. And there are people who will take no risk. And the problem is, like, you're always going to be on opposite sides of it. You're going to have people who are like, I take risk every day. I just sit down and say, like, okay, that is an acceptable level of risk that I will take. I'll do it. And then other people are like, no way. I'm not getting in trouble for that. I'm not going to jail for that. That's like the standard things. I'm not going to jail for that. And you're like, what jail? Like, I don't, like Leavenworth is just full of COM and contractors, you know, like, I don't get it. But yeah, it's, I feel like this is overused, but it's one of those things like you must. Like, it's not like, oh, we need this. It's like, you must do this. Like, just do it. But yeah, we're going to find, well, we may find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. See. When you're a towed decoy for Bender, when you're out on the leading edge.
Yeah, exactly.
A push, push decoy. Yeah,
perfect.
Eagle 2, recommit. No.
Like, trust me, it's going to be fine. I promise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got your back.
I'm going to have, like, I got 4 freaking missiles. It's going to last the first 7 minutes of whatever fight we're in. Like, okay, give me an eagle, somebody.
Yeah, that's why. That's the only reason I'm going to be alive. Fifth gen is like, they can't die because they have our missiles. So he's an extension of me.
Yeah.
Oh, we talked to one guy, Bender. Bender wasn't able to make this one, but Scar, Van Timmerman, Van. He was on the Merge podcast too. But Scar is old Raptor dude. Who now he works at Blue Force Tech, and they work on combat collaborative aircraft. And that was a pretty sweet one. Like, they're, cause now the whole thing, like, we have this idea of like loyal wingmen and stuff, but they're trying to use these, like, there's tons of names for them. There's like CCA is just like one, like, okay, that's a combat collaborative aircraft. There's others that are like training collaborative aircraft. So like TCAs. And then instead of like, half your squadron, you know, your whole, like, your squadron briefs for the day, and half of you are getting blue air, half of you are going to be red air. It's just like, you're all going to be doing blue air. And then you just have these like collaborative aircraft that are going to go out and just fly your red air for you. And then you're like, sick. Like, that's pretty sweet. And then you don't waste all the hours and man, you know, and the people to fly your red air. You just have it. So yeah, there's a ton of stuff. The problem is, I think the biggest gripe I have, like learning more about innovation, is that there's this like very smooth progression through innovation to a point. And then that point is like a min viable product. Like, we have delivered on everything you've asked. And then the commercialization, the like, okay, we're going to like roll this out. That is, I don't think there is a good smooth path forward. So I think a lot of things that are awesome tech and solve problems, they just die on the vine because they don't get like broad commercialization. So that's it.
Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, it's interesting to see that more when you say same. That, the how the landscape's changed. Because I think of just, if you go back to like the 2014, 2015 timeframe with like Draken coming on to be able to provide Red Air. I mean, they were doing like 15,000 flight hour programs at Nellis, which is, Shaw is like a 15,000 flight hour, or at least it was. So doing a lot of flying to, then fat, was it last year they lost their contract at Nellis? I mean, it was like overnight, and then like, oh, boom, we're standing up an F-35 aggressor squadron. One, weird. Just how fast like the threats are changing. But the collaborative piece is interesting. I think the Valkyrie, the Marines just this week with their F-35s. I don't know if, Bender, you got anything you can say about it without going to jail or not. This was an open source article, but the Marines were doing all this collaborative stuff with Valkyrie and having it as like its dedicated wingman. I don't know. It's just different. It's a different landscape. It's changing fast. It's like the iPhone showing up, you know?
Yeah. That's a crazy thing that the Air Force, because that Draken contract had like an entire another year of flying on it. And they just said, nope, we're done. Like, I'm pretty sure they still paid it out because it was a contract. Like, it's not that they just turned off the money. And then I think Draken at Nellis moved to Seymour Johnson. And now, because Seymour has like three fighter squadrons, like they just fly for them now.
And it's like, yeah. Well, down at Lakeland, where Sun and Fun is, that's like their depot. They bought a bunch of, Mirage. I can't, they got them from Spain. I was talking to Slick, and he was saying that, or maybe it was the Jordanians. Like at one point, like they bought a bunch of them. They're all containerized, shipped them back over. They got all like the consumables too. Like it was a smoking hot deal. But then like they'll never fly because the logbooks are like non-existent and it's way too big of a lift to even overcome that to get them to fly in the national airspace system. Because I just can't make them like experimental or whatever it is. But they had like a rough year. I don't know from like losing that contract to.
Who is it that got the Vipers? Is that Aces or Ace? Ace, yeah. Is that what it is?
Because they're out in
I'm excited to see Phoenix. Those. And Phoenix, right? Aren't they like retro fitting them with pretty Gucci?
They have
like nice jammers.
Yeah, someone.
And stuff.
Might have been Cass Young. I was like thinking of like group me, like what they were saying. They have like an Ace radar. I mean, they have gotten some nice tech. Yeah. In those jets.
Yeah, full up, I think.
Well, that's the F-5s, too. I mean, Klamath Falls has F-5 Red Air, and they'll have ESAs. They'll have, I think they can run jammers. Like, they even have a centerline gas tank, so they'll fly like a 2.0.
Yeah.
And so you're like a tiny little T-38 that can jam. Like, good luck. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you need it. Like, because I think our biggest problem was like, it's funny because the C model and the F-16 have exact opposite problems, where the F-16, at least for a long time, was like, okay, we're going to have this threat and it's got this really big radar cross section. And then it's a bunch of F-16s trying to replicate that, you know? So it's like, you're never actually going to be able to fight the real thing. And then now like C models and most things are like, all right, the threat has a relatively small radar cross section. C models, go replicate that, you know? And so it's funny because you're like, yeah, you need a, like a third party aircraft to kind of provide that training aid rather than just sending your primary, you know, machines to go train against.
Yeah. Random. I wish I could find it. I just saw it this week. It was a J-20 taxiing out, which I think one of the clips I made a long time ago was a J-20 taxiing out, but the resolution wasn't that good. And this one was like 4K, which I was surprised to see the Chinese drop that out there. When you look at that, I mean, like that, like nose on, like you guys just stole a Raptor and then just couldn't figure out how to make it small like a Raptor. I mean, that's a, it's a huge plane, but gosh, it looks a lot like Raptor and F-35 kind of like blended mix.
Yeah. Yeah, the A-20s are pretty full up.
They're
J-16s, those things. I actually don't know what any of these numbers mean. I just know what they do. Like, I know how to threat rep them. How to fight. Yeah. They're like, VID that in the sim. I'm like, I have no idea which one that is.
It's
hostile. If you look at pictures,
it's hostile. Yeah. Canard's probably bad. Shoot it.
That's right. J-20s look, enough different. You can kind of tell those. But
tell.
Yeah. If it's not a B-1 and it's got canards.
I did see the J-16s flying in Dubai. Like the Chinese.
You got to watch it.
Yeah, when they did the 2017 air show there. So they, the Russian knights were there, and then the Chinese were there. And it was like the first time the Chinese, I think, had taken their demo team really that far or anywhere else. But like watching it fly, because it kind of looks like a Viper. And at that point, like watching it, you're only seeing the demo, but like the min radius turn and things like that, it did not look as maneuverable as the F-16. Not that that's the only thing that matters, but. My funny story there was like getting on this tiny little elevator. I got on the elevator first. Elevator music's playing. And then two Russian Su-35 pilots, like their chief test pilot for the Sukhoi Design Bureau. And then three Chinese J-16 pilots get on the elevator. And it's like, no kidding, everyone's just like sitting on the elevator like, doot, 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 doot. And the other's like, wow, this is like super awkward right now.
When was that?
2017 in Dubai.
2017.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. And so like the Russians gave us a tour of the Su-35. They wanted a tour of the Raptor, which like, oh yeah, and that's no problem because the Raptor was there and that was part of the plan. They have a cordon.
Yeah.
But they thought, it's like, oh yeah, we want a tour. But then the Su-35, we got a tour and it was like up underneath it and all sorts of stuff. It's a big plane.
That's a massive plane. Holy crap.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
did you ever fight a Su-30 Raider in Malaysia?
I didn't. I was talking crap to scheduling, which I respect. They were like, "No, out," and I was like, "Yeah, I did." And I was like, because they had me in for ACM. It was like ACM with the Su-35, and I was like, BFM or nothing. And then I got nothing, so I was like, I respect that, Golden. That's
I deserve that. Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, that's why you don't talk crap to scheduling. They own your fate.
I got a child who's trying to break the door down now.
They're relatively small. Rain, one of the questions I had was, because obviously we've all flown a ton of like pond crossings, so across the Pacific, across the Atlantic, like in an F-16. I haven't done a pond crossing in a two-engine aircraft, but Bender, I don't know if you've done them in the 35, and Rain now obviously in your current plane, like, are pond crossings just like not, because there's a little pucker factor in a single engine aircraft for 7 hours. Oh,
yeah. It's nothing.
I've only done it in a single.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Twin engine is so much easier. And there's a bunk to sleep in.
That's pretty oven. Nice.
I now understand why all these like tanker guys are like, oh, yeah, I'm just heating my food up. We're like, man, that's really nice, actually. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
You still have to do ETOPS, extended time over water. I don't know. I don't know what it stands for. I mean, I should, but like there's all these reliability things that the company has to prove, the plane has to prove, the crew has to be trained to do, so that if you do lose an engine, you can fly for 2 hours, 3 hours to the nearest piece of concrete land. That is unless it's a lithium battery fire and you're just going to burn up and die.
You have 10 minutes. 10 minutes before you die.
Not all emergencies are created equal. Bender, is a 35 any different?
I haven't done a pond crossing in 35. I assume it's the same as Viper. I mean, it's single engine. It's the motor is so reliable, though. It hasn't had, knock on wood, a lot of issues with the motor, at least.
Well, that's because it tells on itself pretty quick, right? Like, if there's something going wrong, like, the maintenance knows, like, hey, this...
Yeah, it has going bad or whatever. AI type machine learning, who knows, all those buzzwords. But it does a lot of that kind of stuff, predictive maintenance. So theoretically, and I think it's worked out so far, I mean, it's got a ton of flight hours on it, and it hasn't had engine issues, really. So that's good. has other things that are weird.
The Buford F-35 mishap. That was like 2 years ago. The one they ever come out with. Was it two years ago? Not the Fort Worth
one. Not the Fort Worth one. Okay.
Yeah, not the Fort Worth one that like went viral. But the Buford, like Buford had one where the guy punched out. I assume it was because it was trying to do helicopter things. I don't know anything about it, but maybe that's the problem. Like you're having your 15 fighter.
That's when you get two engines working together, things go weird. Yeah, it's really one engine driving the other thing, but
it's like a PTO kind of thing. But I assume there's so much room, more room in a 35 than a Viper. Like, I mean, thinking back, like building the, you know, I'll paint you a word picture, audience, like hopping in an F-16 before EFBs, so electronic flight books existed, you'd have like, at least my squadrons or Bender's in my squadron was like Ziploc bags. And it was like, here's your Ziploc bag of every pub that you require for this leg of this trip. And you're like, sweet. Here's a Ziploc bag for the next one. Don't lose them. And then you're like, throw what you don't need in the travel pod. The F-16 is super tiny, so it's like your little, maybe you bring like a small bag with like some food in it, your helmet bag with piddle packs in it. You got some water, and then you've got all your pubs. And then you like close the canopy, and then you start like dispersing everything around the cockpit to like build your nest. And so now I think like the C models just got like, I don't know, like the map case in the C model, like you could put your backpack there. Like you could have like a 2 day bag in it. Yeah. Like just like you'd have to like lay it flat, but you just like set it in there. Like it's not a thing. So I assume like the 35 and obviously like a 777, like they're just space galore.
Not relative, the room. But
yeah,
35 model, is definitely bigger than a Viper, it's not. You can't put a backpack in a map case. That'd be pretty amazing. But you could put a backpack in there and like stick it back somewhere.
Yeah, there's no like fifth gen stealth. Like, here's my golf club section.
not that I know. Well, it's weird. The travel pod goes in the weapons base, so you're still stealthy even when you're traveling.
Sick.
Funny, but yeah,
still 9G capable. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
You put your golf clubs. It's the same one, I think, as the Viper, though. It's just a fifth-gen travel pod, same size as the Viper.
Yeah. But the door, now I'm envisioning the 35 weapons bay with a travel pod, like, up in the center, and then the door, like, fitting your bag. Like, it was tough getting your bag into a Viper one, like, when it's hanging on the wing, let alone in a weapons bay.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. I've never done it, so... Hopefully the doors are bigger. God, those travel pods. That was the worst part. Well, maybe not the worst part. That was one of the worst parts about like going on AOS was like, you're like hoofing your duffel bag out to the jet. And you're like, I'm about to spend 15 minutes like just pouring sweat trying to get this thing in that tiny freaking door.
Terrible Hobo Hartman, screws.
I think he lost like 15 pounds just trying to get his bag one day into that travel pod with four other maintainers like, all in a line pushing the stupid bag.
Yeah.
Like, you can get in there, but you're not getting the thing out. Like, there's no way.
It was all tobacco, turns out. That's all it was. Rain, did you have the demo, the super cool? It was like a centerline gas tank that had been converted into, that one was Gucci. It would hold, like, pop-up, like, tents and stuff, and you're like, this is nuts.
Nothing but it. Bender got experienced it a couple times doing the demo piece with me, but... I was saying we did the showdown in Stuart, Florida, and two of the guys went on a hog hunt. Like we had some extra time there, and so coming back, it was I'm blanking now. Who went and did it? But like the travel pod, like you did fill them up because they had to bring a bunch of extra things just doing demo that you normally wouldn't have to bring if you're going to another base, but. They had this thing in the cooler, the hog had been quartered up or whatever, and it's like, if you can fit it in there, like, I'm going to fly back in the 40s, so keep it cold, but probably by the time we land in Sumter, South Carolina, like, you're going to need this thing to go in the cooler pretty quick, you know? I just don't want to have blood all over, like, just dripping. But it made it back, you know?
You're just, like, taxiing in, just, like, blood is dripping out of the travel bus. Something has gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, it's a hydro leak. It's fine.
The AOS, like there was like its own mission set you know, like, all right, you had to get like your mind right. Like, okay, I'm going to sit in this plane for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 hours, you know, like, here we go. Buckle up.
And have you ever had to pull one of those pubs out to begin with?
It's like the most fun 8 hours of your life. I didn't take it very often, but I did one from.
It is methamphetamines or amphetamines.
Yeah.
That's right.
Something, they're prescribed.
Something good.
Not meth.
Totally legal.
Yeah.
But we, I think I went Belgium to South Carolina. Something, I can't remember. It was a long one. But like, I was like, you know, I'm just going to do it. So I popped two of the things like 2 hours into it. And I was like, I was raging. I like had business plans like written like fully out. Like my whole, like all my children's like college savings plans, like all calculated. I did not want to land that airplane. I was like, I am feeling it. This is good. Let's just take another lap. Like it's going to be fine. It was awesome. So that stuff is, I think
it works.
If we could just have that, yeah, in our daily lives every once in a while.
I think people do.
I think people maybe do. Yeah.
They're pretty sensitive about that stuff. I was they're pretty sensitive about that stuff. Like, I mean, it's like a controlled substance. I mean, it is a controlled substance.
Yeah.
But it is, makes you very focused.
Very focused. The old combat cocktail. You guys are, you know Dirty Low Rain. But yeah, his combat cocktail of like whatever, he'd like pop two decks, like three Imodium, like four Advil for like how bad it was going to hurt to come off the deck string.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
That cannot, like, on a daily basis, he like, combat cocktail, here we go, for six.
Then go take a Restorol. Yeah, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Your body is not liking you right now.
Yeah.
The Raptor guys, like, on our deployment, they, I think they were taking, like, for us, it was like an act of Congress to get decks prescribed. And, you know, like, obviously monitoring how much you're using, et cetera. But then talking to some of those guys, like, oh, yeah, like every single sortie. But they were flying like 2 hours just to get into country, 2.5 hours to get into country, and doing like 12-hour sorties. Like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
My worst combat sortie was over Syria, and it was the crypto changeover. Like, we were flying like 10 p.m., like landing like at 3 a.m., Well, the JTACs weren't doing their crypto swap until like 5 or 6 a.m., you know, like when they got up. So for, you know, the entire 2 hours into, you know, midnight to 2 a.m., it was just like, and couldn't talk to anyone, couldn't do anything. But, and this is like towards the end of the deployment too, you know, so you're pretty comfortable doing everything. I'm like, I am not going to make it home. I'm going to fall asleep in the jet. Like, I am dying here. I've eaten all my snacks. I got nothing left.
Just that like white noise machine going on.
I got pop one. Because you're not going to be able to go to sleep when you get home. Like, I'm not going to be able to make it home if I don't take it. Took that. I was like, I can solve all the world's problems. I don't care how bored I am. Stuff's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That come down is, it's no joke. That's the thing. You've got to like keep doing it. Like, once you start, it's like, okay, like hack the clock. This is a trend now.
Man.
Oh, man. And then they take them back, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't use them, you lose them.
Theoretically. Though I do have a pretty good stash of Ambien. That's, you know, it's a couple years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, cut that out.
No big deal. Well, you never know. You'd be swapping sleep schedules all the time and exercise, so it's good that you have that.
That's true.
Yeah, you got to have that Ambien. I like Ambien way more than I like the Dix. For me, it's like a 4 hour, like, to the minute, 4 hour clock. It's like Ambien, fall asleep. 4 hours later, it's like pop. I'm awake.
Yep.
I would. And then I was like, snap them in half.
Yeah.
And yeah. Just take two. I was like, because I will go to sleep real fast. And if I don't, it's gonna be tragic. But I'll wake up in like 2 hours. Yeah. I think Chaos has some great stories. Yeah. Flight Dustin, but Chaos had some great stories of taking Ambien, and then his big thing was trading stocks on Ambien. Just like teleport and then like go make stock trades. Like, not intentionally, you know, but I do remember like I woke up and was like, I think I bought a bunch of stuff off Amazon. Like, you kind of like teleport. It's like, it's just like a stupor. Like, it didn't put me to sleep, but I was like a walking zombie.
Yeah. Crazy. There's definitely like a diminishing return. Like, at some point, it's like, you are not falling asleep. You are just an insane person for a little while. Yeah, it's that's funny though. Trading stocks, like, that could go horribly well or horribly wrong. Yeah. No, you don't know. You know,
one of two ways.
You wake up. That's future use problem.
Yeah. Amen. Well, it's a hell of a drug.
Unconscious. That's about the same odds for me. So. Yeah.
Probably good. Just get the brain out of the way.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. When you're on Ambien, at least you don't like remember it. So it's not as painful.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. There's cool. Deployed life. You know, it's different. Different living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things you never thought.
Chaos on here.
Yeah. We do need chaos. Talk.
We'll just do a whole episode on our deployment to Jordan.
Oh yeah.
I guess first, then you guys next.
Yeah. Good. That'd be a good episode.
That would be good. Yeah, we should. I was talking to the guys who went in 2016. We were talking over the weekend, and they were talking about MSAB or whatever. I'm like, it must have been miserable for them because they had like, it was like full established at that point. Like, they had a wing commander and like all this bull crap they had to like follow. But when we were there, it was like a group commander who had zero authority as far as I can remember. And then the squadron commander's in charge of everything else. And so we just got to do what you want pretty much.
Yeah, it was great. It started like, by the time we were leaving, they were starting to get established, you know, like they're, that's like the predators or, you know, the drones had shown up and then like, all right, now it's starting to gotta be more inclusive and, you know, welcoming and all the, from, you know, all that stuff, which was just kind of a pain. It was nice when it was just like a fighter squadron and maintenance and everyone was working towards the same objective, just producing sorties and blowing up bad guys.
Yeah, we did. Good. It's amazing what maintenance can do when you take out maintenance leadership. I maybe cut that out. I don't know how many maintainers listen to this thing.
Hopefully not the leadership.
Like, can you just do that? The thing that they say no to all the time at home station. You're like, oh yeah, no problem. They just like do it. You're like, wait, what? Like, how did you do that?
I think it's like a fighter squadron. You know, where like somehow home station, there's always training queep. There's always all this BS. And then you go, and then you're like, where did all that extra work go? I hope it's not at home waiting for me when I get back. I feel like maintenance is probably the exact same way. Like, they just, like, don't do the extra dumb stuff that just the wing structure makes them do.
Yeah, it's just you're purely focused on the objective. It's awesome.
If only I always did that.
Gosh.
What? Yeah, it's like, well, it turns out I didn't need to do this for 6 months, and everything just seemed to work just fine the way, you know, if I had pay issues, turns out there was like four people there that worked in two-man shifts and they fixed it very quickly. Not like, well, sorry, we're closed for training or we closed at 3:30 today. Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. I would say the horse is dead on that, but no, like it still needs, it is dead. We just need to keep beating it.
Yeah, we can't. The beatings will continue until performance improves. That's what's going to happen.
I'm sure they're listening. They're like, okay, yeah, we could fix that. We could fix that.
Yeah. We're not. No, we're not going to. Yeah. We wouldn't have anything to talk about then. So
that's true. Yeah.
And sometimes Vader invites all these like important people. Like we had, I can't remember his name, but he was General the J-Factor. Jodas? General Jodas.
Yeah.
You know, so all the three star I just like constantly chuck because there's no accountability for the things that I say. All of a sudden, like there was, he's like, well, you can't do that because of that and that and that. And I'm like, that's actually pretty reasonable. Dang it.
Yeah. it's super good getting to like talk to people like General Jodas. Like, I mean, we talked to General Tykert, he's retired. He was a test wing commander, like the 412th or whatever Edwards is. He's a wing commander there and a retired one star. And then, I mean, heck, Rain, you had General Holmes on yours, but these dudes, like the perspective that they have, you know, it's easy in the cheap seats to be like, oh, you should just do this. And then those dudes are us plus a ton of more experience. And they're like, nah, it doesn't make sense because of this. And you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm just kidding. No,
it's great. I'm the most important person in the world. My opinion is.
Yeah,
I have the solutions. That's why everyone's asked me. But I mean, to be fair, it's like there's so many variables. And like General Holmes, that's what he was talking about too, is like the budget process, which again, not knowing much about it, I think our budget process is broken. But when you're at that level, like you're obviously playing the game or you're in the system, right? So you have to play by those rules. And yeah, it's not just like, oh, yep, this is dumb. We're not going to do that. It's like, well, no. This is in law, so you got to do X, Y, and Z. You're like, well, that's dumb. So, yeah, whatever.
Change the law.
Yeah. Change the law. And turns out also not that easy to do. So, politics.
Yeah. There you go.
So, again, no one asks us. We unsolicited provide our opinion on things. And I think we solve a lot of the world's problems.
That's what we're good at.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome, guys. I'm glad we got a chance to reconnect.
Yeah. I mean, maybe probably increase the frequency. We got to figure out the frequency, the appropriate amount. But I think we got the next one on the books. I'm not going to say it publicly.
And I'm going to come up with like a little agenda or something. Yeah. We got some good content coming everybody's way. We're going to do like a meme theme, or like whatever we're talking about, like meme of the day, or meme of the week. Yeah.
This has been in the works for a while.
Yeah. Well, because we came up with this after the last bro chat, and it's been months.
Right. Yeah. Well, now that you're done training, so now we should be good to go. We should be at least getting two of these a month, I think, at least.
Easy.
Somehow. I've got, down days. I'm down.
Yeah. Cancel your flight.
All right. Well,
easy. Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
It's been fun, guys.
Bye, everybody.
See you next time. Yeah. You know what we should do? Let's do this before I hit stop on the record. Bender, you have the exit.
I just did the intro.
Yeah. But this is your episode. This is the Bender episode.
Oh, it's my episode. All right. It's circular. Dudes, it has been a good time. And also, I forgot at the beginning to thank Rain's Patreon folks. So
as is tradition.
Yeah. Keep doing whatever, connect your credit card and hit whatever, submit. Keep that money going. I'm sure it's great. I don't ever get to see it, but I'm sure it's great. And Invader, if you're seeing Patreon money, then owe me an explanation because I haven't seen any of it myself.
Yeah, you have red internal stuff. So you guys got to work out. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Donations are always open.
Yeah, always open. But honestly, we do appreciate the people who do listen. And like there's probably 7 or 8 that care about what Vader I have to say. But Rain, your people are great people. So. Appreciate you guys listening.
They definitely care what I have to say.
Next month, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Or whenever we do this. Next week.
That was great. That was a great job, Bender.
Ah. Yeah, thanks. I'm getting top notch. You start from zero.
We hit stop. The Afterburn Podcast is a proud supporter of Guns Gear and Memorial Foundation, helping our veterans and their families when they need it most. To learn more, visit gunsgearin.com/rain.
Good news, bad news. All those spam and text calls you've been getting lately. Well, that's a result of your information having been sold by third-party data brokerages, or it's been stolen and sold to nefarious people. Ticketmaster recently had a data breach where 560 million users' information was stolen and sold in the dark web. This included their names, physical addresses, email addresses, credit card information, and much more. Best case scenario, this just ends with more annoying phone calls and text messages. Worst case, it's going to end in fraud and you're really going to be in the Hurt Locker. That's why I've been using a service called Aurora for over a year now. I've talked about it on the podcast before, but not only do they monitor the dark web and the internet for my information in case it is involved in a breach, they go right to work removing your information from these data brokerages. When I signed up, they identified over 60 that had my information and went right to work removing me from these data brokerages. Now, you could do this yourself, but each one of these data brokerages has its own policies and procedures, and I have no idea how you would even start trying to remove yourself from these services, let alone how much time that would take. But Aurora does that, as well as they offer a whole suite of tools to keep you safe, including a VPN, antivirus, password management, parental controls, and identity theft insurance. You get this all in one app, one place, so it's super simple. And you can do this with a 14-day risk-free trial. Super simple. And if you don't like it, you just cancel anytime. It's not complicated. At a minimum, you can take a look and see what information of yours is out there lurking on the web right now. Use the link down below in the description or go to aurora.com/afterburn and you get 14 days risk-free. Cancel anytime. Super easy. And take the first step in protecting yourself out there on the interwebs. That's the good news, by the way.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.